Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Closer to You by Cheryl Lister. Narrated by Sean Christen. Chapter 1. Zara Chandler parked in front of her grandfather's bookstore and sucked in a deep breath. She still couldn't believe he was gone, or that he'd left the house and bookstore to her, as well as a large monetary inheritance. Though only 7 o'clock on Saturday evening, all of the town's stores seemed to be shut down for the night. She stepped out of the car, looked around, and stretched to relieve some of the kinks from the 3.5-hour drive. Located about an hour away from San Diego, nestled in an area with beautiful mountains and lakes, Blackmont, California had a population of less than 1,000, and everybody knew each other. So, who could have wanted her grandfather dead? Reaching back into the car, she grabbed the key ring her grandfather's attorney, Mr. Bostwick, had provided, shut the door, and pressed the remote lock. She walked up to the store's front and searched for the key.
"Oh, great," she muttered.
None of the keys were labeled. There had to be at least 20 keys, and half of them looked to be a possible fit. She stuck the first one in, the second one, the third one, then the fourth one. She turned the key slightly, and it broke off in the lock. Zara let out an impatient sigh and cursed under her breath. She walked back to the car and searched the glove compartment for something to try to remove the broken piece. She grabbed a mini screwdriver out of one of those eyeglass repair kits she'd gotten from some promotional campaign, a regular-sized screwdriver, and went back to the door. Using the flashlight on her keyring, she decided to try to dig out the small piece first. If that failed, then she'd use the larger one to pry off the lock.
"Freeze!"
a deep voice commanded from behind her. She gasped sharply, clutched her chest, and spun around, instinctively bringing the screwdriver up in a protective position. Zara slowly lowered it and visibly relaxed upon seeing the officer.
"Goodness, you scared me. I thought you were a robber or something."
"I figured you'd be back."
Her eyebrows shot up.
"I beg your pardon? Back from where?"
"Step away from the door, miss,"
he commanded, gun drawn.
"Why? What are you talking about?"
"Put your hands where I can see them."
She took a step.
"I can explain."
"I'm not going to tell you again."
Raising her hands, she sighed.
"I'm not breaking in."
He holstered his gun, stalked over to where she stood, and latched onto her arm. Zara pulled away, dropping her keys and screwdrivers.
"Wait, what are you doing? I'm not trying to break into the store."
"Look, lady, don't make me add resisting arrest to breaking and entering."
"You're arresting me?"
she asked incredulously.
"This is my store. I haven't done anything wrong. If you would just listen..."
"You can explain it at the station."
He gestured her toward the police sedan.
"You're making a big mistake."
The corner of his mouth kicked up and he let out a snort.
"Right, I'm making a mistake. I'm not the one who was caught jimmying a lock with a screwdriver. We can straighten out your identity at the station. Get in."
He retrieved the keys and screwdrivers from where she had dropped them, then escorted her over to the car.
"What's your name?"
Zara folded her arms and rolled her eyes. Before she could say anything, another police car drove up, and two men got out. A young blonde-haired officer called out,
"Hey, Ken, who you got there?"
"Finally caught the person trying to break into Chandler's bookstore."
He held up the screwdrivers. Zara placed a hand on her hip and pointed a finger in his face.
"I wasn't breaking into anything. Did you not see the keys in my hand?"
She heard muffled laughter from the men, but didn't care. She'd had enough of this craziness. He opened the door and gestured her inside.
"Have a seat."
She dropped down into the back seat and crossed her arms.
"Arrogant jerk,"
she muttered. After what seemed like hours, he came and leaned into the window. She drilled him with an angry stare.
"Now, let's try this again. What's your name?"
"Zara Chandler."
His brow lifted.
"Chandler?"
"Yes, Chandler."
She smiled smugly and leaned forward.
I tried to tell you who I was before, but you wouldn't listen, she said, through clenched teeth. If you had just opened your ears for 2 seconds, I would have told you the key broke in the lock of my store, and I was trying to get it out. I would have shown you my driver's license, but it's locked in my car, parked right over there, in front of my store.
Looks like you really stepped in it this time, Kendall, the older officer said, pushing off the hood of the car. Zara guessed him to be about 50. He had graying hair around the temples and a few lines bracketing his mouth and eyes on his walnut-colored face. Although he had some added girth around his middle, he still looked to be in good shape. The man came over, smiled warmly, and extended his hand through the window.
Carl Franklin, it's nice to meet you, Miss Chandler. You must be Josiah's granddaughter. I recognize you from the picture he kept in the store. He talked about you all the time. My condolences.
She shook his hand.
Thank you. Nice meeting you, too.
The other officer introduced himself. She fixed her gaze on the man still standing there with a scowl on his face.
I'm thinking I'd like that apology now.
He had the decency to look embarrassed.
My apologies, Miss Chandler. Someone has been trying to break into the store for the last couple of nights, and I thought you might be that person.
He opened the door to let her out.
Thank you, but I'd still like to speak to a supervisor or your boss.
Officer Franklin laughed.
That might be a little tough, since he is the boss. Miss Chandler, meet Sheriff Kendall McKnight.
Zara's mouth fell open. A slow grin made its way over the sheriff's face. Her breath caught. That smile was... She shook herself mentally. Now she had really lost her mind. Yes, he looked good. Okay, better than good. Along with his towering height, he was drop-dead gorgeous. He had smooth, nut-brown skin, a neatly groomed beard and goatee that hugged his jaw like a shadow, close-cropped black hair, chiseled features, and piercing dark chocolate eyes that seemed to see clear through to her soul. But this man had just tried to arrest her, so she had no business thinking about his smile or anything else about him.
It looks like you have everything under control, Kendall, so we'll head on back to the station.
The sheriff nodded and watched the two men depart. He leaned against the open car door and fixed his gaze on Zara.
Where are you staying, since you can't go to your grandfather's house?
Mr. Bostwick made reservations for me at the Blackmont Inn. Why?
Just concerned. I'll follow you over.
You don't need to follow me. I have directions. I'm sure there's some other innocent person out there you can arrest,
she said, not bothering to mask her irritation. He chuckled.
I'm truly sorry for my mistake. How can I make it up to you?
You can make it up to me by staying away.
Sheriff McKnight shook his head.
Sorry, can't do that. I'll need to talk to you about your grandfather.
Her voice softened.
Do you know who might have started the fire that killed him, or why somebody would try to break into the store?
He let out a frustrated sigh.
Not yet, and I was hoping you could tell me.
I have no idea. I didn't even know there had been any attempts.
Zara opened her car door. He held it open, standing so close she could smell the faint notes of his citrusy cologne and feel the heat emanating from his body. It had an unexpected effect on her, but she pushed it aside and hurriedly got into the car, started the engine, and drove off.
Ignore it. Ignore him,
she muttered repeatedly. She drove 3 blocks, made a left turn, glanced in the rearview mirror, and saw the black truck behind her.
Why won't he go away?
She wailed inwardly. Zara spotted the Blackmont Inn and parked in the small lot. Once again, she suffered the sheriff's closeness as he stood next to the trunk while she removed her bags.
Don't you have something else to do? I can think of a few things, like finding out who killed my grandfather or who was trying to break into his store.
He didn't reply, but grabbed most of the bags and inclined his head toward the entrance. She picked up the remaining bag, slammed the trunk shut, and stomped off. He laughed softly and caught up to her in time to open the door.
Hey, Sheriff, what are you doing here?
An older woman with mahogany skin and salt-and-pepper hair pulled into a bun came from behind a long desk.
Hi, Miss Millie. I'm helping Miss Chandler with her bags.
She embraced Zara.
Welcome. Oh, child, I'm so sorry about your grandpa. How are you doing?
The warm gesture surprised her.
Thank you. I'm fine.
Miss Millie walked back to the computer.
Your room is ready, honey. Meals are served family style. Breakfast is at 8, dinner at 6:30, and lunch is by request. If you want lunch, let us know at breakfast, and we'll have it sent up, or you can eat in the dining room.
She clicked a few keys.
I was expecting you earlier. You missed dinner.
Zara gave the sheriff a withering stare.
I was detained.
She nodded.
Well, I'll have a light snack sent up for you. I'd appreciate that. Kendall, since you're here, you can help her get settled. She's upstairs in room 9.
She handed him the key.
Enjoy your stay, Ms. Chandler. Thank you, and call me Zara.
Am I ever going to get rid of this man? She glowered at him again and started in the direction Miss Millie pointed. Once they reached the room, he opened the door and stepped back so she could enter.
Wow, this is nice,
she said, before remembering she wasn't speaking to him.
Miss Millie gave you the best room in the house.
He set her bags on the love seat. Zara glanced around the cozy sitting area with its love seat, chair, chaise lounge, end tables, and floor lamps. A small dining table with two chairs sat on the other side of the room. The bedroom was located down a short hallway. She walked further into the room, noting the gas fireplace extended into both rooms. She felt as though she'd stepped back in time as she took in the white canopy bed with matching nightstands and dresser. French doors opened to a private balcony where two white wicker chairs with plush cushions and a small glass table sat. Although almost dark, she made out a lake and the mountains silhouetted in the distance.
Is the room okay?
Zara spun around. She'd forgotten about the sheriff.
Yes. Thanks for bringing up my stuff. I'm sure you have a lot to do, so...
A knock sounded. He went to answer the door.
Well, hello, Sheriff. Fancy meeting you here.
A pretty, dark-skinned young woman who looked to be in her early 20s entered the room, smiling flirtatiously at him. She carried a tray over to the dining table.
Hey, Angela. Angela, this is Zara Chandler. Zara, this is Angela, Miss Millie's granddaughter.
Nice to meet you, Angela, and thanks for the food. Same here, and you're welcome. Are you leaving, Sheriff?
Angela asked, still staring at the sheriff.
Yes. He came to where Zara stood. We'll see about getting a new lock for the store, and I'll have someone leave the key with Miss Millie. Good night, Zara, and welcome to Blackmont.
The intensity of his gaze sent heat racing down Zara's spine and made her pulse skip. The way he said her name in that deep, black velvet voice floated over her like a gentle caress.
Good night, Sheriff.
Zara hadn't moved from the spot several seconds later when her cell rang. Her mother's frantic voice came through the earpiece when she connected.
Zara, oh, thank goodness. Are you okay? Why haven't you called to let us know you made it safely? Mom, I'm fine. I stopped by the bookstore first.
She skipped the other details, rolling her eyes with the remembrance of the irritating encounter.
I'm at the inn, and everything is very nice. I don't know what your grandfather was thinking, making you move to that backwater town. How do you know it's a backwater town? You haven't been to Blackmont in 15 years. And it'll be 15 more before I step foot in it again,
she mumbled.
I can't believe you just picked up and left. Your grandfather was killed in that town. I can't believe you actually want to live there, will or no will.
Her grandfather's will had stipulated that Zara live in Blackmont for the first 2 years as a condition of her inheritance.
Mom, what about your job? Bank managing jobs don't happen every day, especially for someone so young. You only had that position for 6 months. And what about Robert? I'd hoped you'd stop dragging your feet and announce your engagement.
Zara cringed.
Mom, I told you I'm not marrying Robert. I've told him the same, so I'd appreciate it if you stopped trying to interfere. I don't understand what your problem is, Zara,
she huffed.
Robert's a very nice young man. He comes from a good family and is at the top of his field. Not to mention he's quite attractive. Think of what you're giving up. That inheritance is peanuts compared to what he could offer you. I have thought about what I'd be giving up, and the price is too high.
She dated Robert Porter for 6 months, trying to please her mother, which, in Zara's mind, had been 6 months too long. Lavish dinner parties practically every week and fundraisers for everything under the sun were enough to give her hives. She had no desire to live her life like a piece of expensive silver on a shelf, waiting to be polished and admired. Zara liked her life just fine.
You're 30 now, well past the time for you to start thinking about settling down and getting married. And Robert is an excellent choice. I'm not having this conversation again. I still say you should come back home and marry Robert. If you want a bookstore, I'm sure he'll help you open one here.
She shook her head and sighed wearily.
Let it go, Mom. Robert and I are over, and that's not going to change. He called today looking for you. Why didn't you tell him you were leaving or where you were going? I don't need to report my whereabouts to him, since we're not together anymore. And, as you pointed out, I am 30, so I don't need to tell anybody, for that matter. And you don't need to tell him either, okay?
Her mother didn't answer.
Mom? Zachary said he's driving up next weekend to pick up your grandfather's cars. He'll call to let you know when. You didn't answer my question. Good night, Zara. Night, Mom,
she growled and tossed the phone on the sofa. No way she'd ever marry boring, stiff Robert. He didn't care that she thought for herself, liked relaxing in old sweats, loved watching sports and played basketball. He only wanted someone to look pretty, nod, and hostess his parties. If they married, she would be insane inside of a week. Besides, there was no attraction, no chemistry, no spark. Nothing like what she felt when Sheriff Kendall McKnight touched her. The warm, fluttery feeling that flowed up her arm. She threw her hands up.
Why am I still thinking about him?
The man was rude and didn't listen, and the less she had to deal with him, the better. After unpacking and showering, Zara went out to the balcony with her food. A plate filled with assorted meats, cheeses, crackers and fruit, and a bottle of sparkling water. As she ate, the night breeze kicked up and she shivered. She inhaled deeply, staring out over the darkness, pondering the mystery surrounding her grandfather's death. Everyone loved Josiah Chandler. He always had a kind word, even when it wasn't deserved. Who had done this? And why? Were they still out there? The sheriff said someone tried to break into the store twice. What were they looking for? Her thoughts shifted to her grandfather's request that she move here. Granted, he'd been right about her not being happy, but she didn't necessarily think it warranted this kind of move. Though, truthfully, she'd grown bored with the corporate world, and a small part of her looked forward to what life in a small town might bring. Getting away from her mother was an added bonus. She pulled the letter her grandfather had written from her pocket. Mr. Bostwick had given it to her, along with the keys. Finally getting the courage to read it. Zara took another deep breath, opened the envelope, and took out the sheet of paper. Dear Zara, I know you're probably confused by my request, maybe even a little angry, and I hope you'll be able to forgive me someday. But I had to do what I think is best for you. Grandbaby girl, you have such an amazing heart and beautiful spirit. Reminds me of my Ella. On each of my last 3 visits, you seemed sadder and sadder. It's like your spirit is being sucked right out of you, and I can't stand it. I'll be gone when you read this, but if you can trust Grandpa this last time, I promise you'll find everything you need here in Blackmont. Oh, and don't worry about your Uncle Mitchell or your cousins. They'll be pretty mad, but your daddy will keep them in line. I love you, Angel Girl. You've always been my heart. Don't let me down. Grandpa. Tears blurred her vision.
I love you too, Grandpa, she whispered. I hope you know what you're doing.
She glanced up at the sky once more and went back into the room. Kendall sat parked in his truck behind the station, thinking about Zara Chandler. The woman had no problems getting in his face, even though at 6'4", he towered over her by a good 8 or 9 inches. He chuckled to himself. What a spitfire, with those light brown eyes flashing in anger and shoulder-length hair flowing around her face. As hard as he tried, he couldn't ignore her natural beauty. The tight-fitting jeans hugged her curvy bottom, giving way to long, shapely legs. Every time she glared at him, his gaze was drawn to her full breasts, pressing against that snug-fitting shirt. His attraction to her caught him totally off guard. He hadn't felt this type of connection in over 4 years, and the feeling was unwelcome. And at 34, he had more sense than to be taken in by a pretty face. Again. He got out of the truck, punched in the code at the back door, making sure it locked behind him, and walked down the short hallway to his office. Closing the door, Kendall dropped into the chair. As soon as he reached for a file, he heard a knock. Groaning, he barked, "Come in." Carl entered and sat. "Miss Chandler all settled in. I assume she's staying at the inn."
"Yeah." "You know, she sure is a pretty addition to our town. The single young men here are going to be beating down the doors of that bookstore once they hear about her."
Kendall's jaw tightened. Carl laughed.
"Yep, she's a beautiful woman, but she probably won't say two words to you after tonight."
"Are you finished? I have work to do,"
he responded tersely, opening the file. Carl laughed harder.
"For now."
He walked over to the door. Turning back, he asked thoughtfully,
"If she wasn't the person trying to break into the bookstore, who was?"
He'd asked himself the same question.
"I don't know."
"One other thing. Do you think whoever killed Josiah is going to come after her?"
Leaning forward, Kendall's gaze hardened.
"I hope not."
Carl studied him and nodded.
"Me too."
He closed the door behind him. He thought more about what Carl said. Whoever tried to break into the bookstore was looking for something. Something, evidently, they couldn't get from Mr. Chandler. He wondered what they were looking for, and why. What could be worth killing a man over? Whatever it was, he would get to the bottom of it, and keep Ms. Chandler safe in the process. Turning his attention back to the file, he shook his head. "Yeah, she's really going to like that."
Chapter 2. Zara slid into an empty chair in the dining room the next morning as Miss Millie brought breakfast to the table and glanced around the quaint area. The place seemed to be more of a bed and breakfast than an inn. She murmured a good morning to the people around the table.
"Good morning, Zara,"
Miss Millie's chipper voice rang out.
"Did you sleep well?"
"Yes, ma'am."
My, and good manners, too."
Miss Millie introduced her to the other occupants, a couple with two young children, two older couples, and four men who, from their conversation, appeared to be business associates. Zara stared agape at the many platters of food: fluffy scrambled eggs, grits, bacon, sausage, ham, potatoes, toast, biscuits, fruit, and an assortment of homemade jams and preserves covered the table. It reminded her of the breakfasts Grandma Ella used to cook whenever Zara's family visited. She placed a small amount of eggs, two pieces of bacon, a slice of melon, and a biscuit on her plate. The food was so good she added potatoes and another biscuit a few minutes later. She listened to the conversations floating around the table while eating, but didn't comment.
"Would you like some coffee, Zara?"
Miss Millie stood behind her with a coffee pot.
"No, thank you. The juice is fine."
When Zara finished, she excused herself and trudged back upstairs to lie down. She'd been on fast forward for the past 4 weeks, preparing to move. Now, with nothing to do, fatigue had finally caught up to her, and she fell asleep as soon as her head hit the pillow. Zara woke up, briefly disoriented, before remembering where she was. She stood and stretched, noting that over 2 hours had passed. She opened the French doors and gasped softly. Calm, blue-green lake waters sparkled in the morning sunshine as the mountains rose majestically to kiss the clear blue sky. She'd never seen such a spectacular view. The air here smelled clean and fresh, unlike smog-filled Los Angeles. Taking a seat in one of the cushioned wicker chairs, she stared out over the expanse, inhaled deeply, amazed as the stress melted from her body. Out here, she had no deadlines to meet, no slew of hated high society functions, no pushy mothers trying to force marriage.
She stayed on the balcony a while longer, relaxing, before heading over to the bookstore. She stopped at the front desk, and someone had indeed left a key. The drive over only took a few minutes. Zara parked out front and dug the key out of her pocket. As soon as she stuck the key in the lock, she heard glass breaking in the back of the store and grabbed her cell phone to dial the police. She leaned against her car, paced back and forth, and kept glancing toward the store. In less than 5 minutes, the sheriff and the same young blonde-haired officer she'd seen the night before pulled up and jumped out of the car.
"What's going on, Miss Chandler?" the sheriff asked.
"I heard glass breaking in the back when I was unlocking the front door."
"Did you go inside?"
"No, I called you first."
"Once we check everything out, you can come in and take a look?"
"Sure."
Sheriff McKnight drew his weapon, nodded to the other officer who did the same, and they crept around to the back of the store. Zara's gaze followed the sheriff. The uniform he wore magnified his impressive build. The shirt stretched taut across a broad chest, and he had shoulders wide enough to fill the doorway. His trousers clung to muscled thighs that flexed with each step. She had to admit, he was one gorgeous specimen of a man. A while later, the sheriff gave her the all clear and escorted her inside the store.
"Did you find anything?"
"Nothing, except the glass broken out of the back door. Doesn't look like they got in. We'll have it boarded up shortly."
"Thanks,"
she mentally added, getting a new window to her list of things to do. At first glance, everything looked exactly as it had 5 years ago. She ran her hand down the aged, scarred wooden bookshelves and across the counter where she spent much of her time whenever visiting. Layers of dust coated every surface, and the dark brown carpet under her feet was old and worn. Even the lamps were the same. She had tried talking her grandpa into getting more up-to-date lighting on her last visit and teased him about it every now and again when they spoke. Zara inhaled deeply, bowing her head as emotions bubbled up once again and tears filled her eyes. The sheriff came to where she stood.
"Are you all right?"
"Yeah, I'll be fine. Just remembering."
She walked behind the counter, fingered the chipped coffee mug and ancient stapler. Picking up a photograph, she smiled softly.
"I didn't know he had this."
"May I?"
He held out his hand. She handed him the picture.
"Is this you?"
"Yep, Grandpa came to see me run in the state track meet my senior year of high school."
"I take it by the medals around your neck you won. What events did you run?"
"The 100, 200, and 4x1 relay."
"I bet he was really proud of you."
Zara accepted the picture, then placed it back in its spot.
"He was."
A twinge of guilt rose. If she hadn't canceled her visit 3 months ago, she might have been here and known if something was wrong. But with her new position, she'd had to attend a mandatory training class. She shook off the sadness and continued to survey the place.
"I know you're settling in, but I wanted to ask you some questions about your grandfather, if you don't mind."
"Sure."
"The last time you talked to him, did he mention anything about someone threatening him or having any unusual visitors?"
"No, he never said anything."
Kendall sighed.
"I'd hoped you knew something. When was the last time you talked to him?"
"The day before he died. He was planning his annual visit to Los Angeles."
"I'm sorry."
He paused.
"Do you think he said something to your father?"
"I don't think so. Daddy would have mentioned it."
"What about your uncle?"
Zara made a face.
"Please, Uncle Mitchell doesn't entertain any conversation unless he's getting something out of it."
Kendall chuckled.
"I'm guessing there's no love lost between you and your uncle."
"Something like that."
He leaned against the counter, and Zara felt his stare as she continued to walk around the store.
"Can you think of anything someone would be looking for in the bookstore?"
She turned back.
"No, I only remember seeing shelves and shelves of books."
"When was the last time you were here?"
5 years ago."
"How old were you?"
25.
"While you're looking around, can you tell me if anything seems different or odd?"
"Sure. So far, everything looks exactly the same."
She came back to the front after a moment.
Nothing is different. Grandpa didn't even change the peeling wallpaper or the faded linoleum flooring in the bathroom. Do you think I can come in and start taking inventory and cleaning up?
Kendall hesitates.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?